Welcome to the Product Makers Podcast, where we interview and have open conversations with product makers and leaders from both large enterprises and startups about their experience in growing successful teams, products, and companies around the world. I'm your host, Adam Davis, here at Product Board. Today, my guest is Balaji Anandanpillai. Balaji has over 15 years of experience in building products for some of the biggest names in tech, such as Amazon, Adobe, and Morningstar, as well as some early and mid-stage companies. He's currently working as a senior group product manager at Paylocity, a leading HR and payroll company, and leads their workforce management products. In today's episode, we dig into how to create and manage roadmaps that align with your customers and business goals. We discuss the difference between your vision, product strategy, and roadmap, and we dig into why teams need to put more effort into determining what problems to focus on. And Balaji shares his thoughts on prioritization and how his team ensures success. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. All right. Welcome to the podcast, Balaji. How are you doing today?
Doing good, Adam. How are you?
Awesome. Yeah, not doing too well. Too bad. Whereabouts are you based?
I am based out of Chicago here in the US. Been here for about, it's been quite long in one single place in the US. Probably around 13 years right now in Illinois.
And what are some of the things that are keeping you busy at the moment? I'm sure there's a lot, but yeah, what are some of the top things?
Top things that are keeping me busy are, apart from work. Work always keeps me busy. But apart from work, my six-year-old daughter, she's a whole bundle of energy, and keeping up with her, making sure, you know, I entertain her, and making sure she gets to do all the homework and other things, that keeps me busy. And other than that, it's Cricket World Cup season. So that's another thing that's keeping me busy. Get up early in the morning here at 3:30 a.m. to watch those cricket matches.
I love it. Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before we dive into the main part of the conversation, which is going to be all about creating and managing roadmaps, to get started, I'd love to do some quick fire questions that we ask all our listeners before we get into it, just to get to know you. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
Awesome. All right. So we'll rattle through them pretty quickly. So first one, what is your favorite beverage? It can be anything.
Yeah. Favorite go-to beverage is a nice hot cup of tea, or as they call it in India, chai, mixed with a little bit of some of these spices like cardamom and elaichi and things like that. But I'm someone who prefers to have my tea with milk. So that's, I know a whole lot of people don't like to have milk either in their coffee or tea, but I am very insistent on having my tea with milk.
Yeah, I am too. All right. What is your favorite travel destination and why?
Maldives, without any question. I think been there only once back in 2014, but what really impressed me about Maldives is that it's this place surrounded by water, bunch of smaller islands within the main country, and then gives out this such calm and serene and peaceful vibes, right? Like, you know, after you slog all year long, when you go out for a vacation, you just want to be peaceful and relaxing. And that's what Maldives gives. Like, you know, get out there in the balcony, you see water, you see fishes swimming, you see like different sea animals there. And like, you know, the snorkeling and scuba diving out there is really fantastic. The water is so clear. You get to see a whole bunch of sea life there.
Awesome. I want to go.
Yeah.
What's your favorite product at the moment? Could be anything. Doesn't have to be software.
Favorite product at the moment is a product called Noom, mainly because it helps me track my food intake, my weight, my workouts, and water intake. Yeah, I've been really liking it so far, with like, you know, all the tips and advices the app actually gives on how do you maintain your weight, how do you match your diet, like how do you balance proteins and carbohydrates and other things. One of the things I am particularly very impressed by the app is, like, you know, you can do a barcode scanning of your food, that of the food that you're eating, or if it's cooked food, you just enter it in, assuming it has been crowdsourced already. You get like the appropriate amount of breakdown of nutrients. So which is very, very, very easy and nice to use.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to have to look it up. You can actually scan it and it'll tell you the information.
Exactly.
All right. What's one overhyped product topic that's going around that you're seeing? What are your thoughts on that?
So I know this can be a very controversial thing to say. Overhyped product topic, I think, is generative AI, and not because the topic is hyped up, or not because generative AI is bad or anything, but I feel a lot of companies are using generative AI just for the heck of it, without properly understanding what the use cases are. Just slap an AI to anything and everything that you're working on, and they think that is cool, and they think that they can attract a lot of investments from venture capitalists, which I think is so bizarre. But I think there needs to be a little bit of more due diligence in terms of, like, hey, what problem is it going to solve? Why do I need AI? Do I actually need AI to solve the problem? And also be responsible and ethical about the use of AI.
Last one, and I love asking this to product leaders like yourself. What's one thing you've changed recently in how you approach your work that's made a difference? What's something that you've done that you're like, oof, you know what? That's made a difference.
Yeah. You know, as not just as product managers, but like anyone working in the tech industry or any other industry, one of the things that a lot of people always struggle with is, like, you know, how do you make sure you're working on the right things? How do you prioritize the right things? And it gets even more intense with product manager, because as a product manager, you have to be very good at prioritizing your product or prioritizing the features that you're working on so that you deliver the right things for your customer. And that translates into, like, you know, how do you prioritize things in your day-to-day life? And I think one of the things that I learned, and this was from one of the product leaders out there, Shreyas Doshi, as this course, Manage Your Own PM Career, I was part of the first cohort that took this course, where he spoke about this LNO framework and how powerful of a framework it is when it comes to, like, managing and differentiating what the different tasks you have to do as a product manager. When you think about prioritization frameworks that exist today, a lot of them just focuses on time. But LNO framework, what it does is it focuses both on time and quality. And what LNO actually stands for is L stands for leverage, N stands for neutral, and O stands for overhead. So it talks about, like, how do you make sure that you, with leverage, leverage are those tasks that you put your most focus on. With neutral, neutral is something where these are tasks that you need to do to get your job done. Like, you know, think about it as, like, requires time more than abilities, like in charge of meeting notes or, like, you know, something that you do in your day-to-day job. And lastly, then there's overhead, right? Overhead, on the other hand, these are tasks that definitely must be done, but these are tasks that you don't need to put a whole lot of effort into quality, right? Like, how do you take your task and how do you break it down into the LNO framework is key to this whole approach. And I think it has made a huge amount of difference in how I operate, how I think about prioritization.
Awesome. No, I really like that. So do you, if you have, because most people have, like, a traditional, like, to-do list of what they need to do, do you then layer on this framework on top of that?
I try my best. Like, I'll have to admit, I'm nowhere close to perfect. It's an evolving process, right? So I started doing this. I started breaking it down, like, okay, which one is leverage? Which one is neutral? Which one is overhead? And there are times, sometimes I struggle. Like, very recently at my work, I had this thing where I had to complete two documentations. And I spent a whole night working on one document, which I was going to be presenting to my skip level on a Monday. But hindsight, even though I had to present it to my skip level on that Monday, hindsight, the other document was very important, because I was going and presenting it to, like, all senior leadership, including the CEO, a week later. So focusing on that document and making sure I get it right and making sure I do a pre-read and pre-review of the second document with my leadership was more important than doing the review with Skip, right? So there are times like this when, oh gosh, like, I could have used the LNO framework here, right? Like, what matters the most? So it's an evolving process, nowhere close to being perfect on this.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's just a good way to kind of reflect on doing it. But I've been in that situation before. All right, last one, quick one. What's your advice on having a successful career?
two things that I always index on, and this is something my dad's always told me, something that I found it very valuable. One is never stop learning. Be a lifelong learner, right? Like, how do you keep yourself updated with the things that are happening that make you stay relevant in your current job, in your day-to-day lives and everything? The second thing I'd say is, like, whenever you are feeling comfortable in your current job or, like, you know, whatever that you're doing, be open to challenging yourself and moving outside your comfort zone. And I don't necessarily mean this in a wrong way, right? Like, you know, there are some people who might be comfortable with what they're doing. They have, like, other priorities. But if there are no conflicting priorities, if you don't have, like, things that you need to take care of in your personal life, and you are willing to make that investment, you can make that, you can make the decision to come out of your challenge zone, then I'd highly encourage it. But then again, not everyone's lives are the same. No two people are equal. So, you know, how do you balance that? How do you make the right trade-offs? Because there are some times where, for me, okay, comfort and the way my life is going probably is better right now because I have a little kid. My focus needs to be more on that little kid. Mm-hmm. So how do I make that right trade-off? So ultimately, I know I'm speaking a lot in product management jargon. Make the right trade-offs and make sure, like, you know, you're challenging yourself.
Nice. Well, Adrian, I think you did a very nice segue to our topic today. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about creating and managing roadmaps that align with customer needs and business goals. So I think elements of this certainly get PMs out of their comfort zone, lots of trade-offs.
Yep.
And it's also very timely in terms of, I know, like, us personally, we're in the midst of Q4 planning and then looking ahead at 2024. And I know a lot of product teams are, and it can be challenging, you know, like, you're changing
absolutely
how you approach it. You've got all your different types of inputs. You might have new team members, you might have folks that have left. So yeah, I'd love to dive into this topic. And I think kicking off, I'd love to get your thoughts on what are product roadmaps to you, and why are they important, or do you feel they are important?
Yeah. So we'll break it down into two parts, right? Like, one is what does product roadmap mean to me? And then we'll talk about whether they are important or not. So when you think about why a product roadmap is necessary, a lot of people tend to mix roadmap with strategy, right? Like, those are two different things. Like, strategy is, like, how you should be approaching a particular vision. Like, you know, you have the vision, then the strategy is, like, how should you be approaching the vision? And then you have the roadmap is, like, you know, roadmap actually tells you what gets built in this product, and also when, right? Like, once you translate your vision into a strategy, then you talk about, like, okay, I have the strategy, I need to go build this. Let's talk about how do I go about building this. Let's talk about, like, what are the different things that are included in building this particular product or building this particular feature. And let's also talk about, like, you know, when can we actually build this? What customer pain points does it solve? What problems does it solve? So those are kind of things that go into product roadmap, right? Like, and it's very important that we focus on the key differences here, because a lot of times I've seen people getting confused with strategy and product roadmap, but those are two different. Mm-hmm. Now, roadmaps can mean different things to different people. Like, I've worked in, like, places that did, like, short-term roadmaps, which is, like, a period of 3 months. And then I've also worked in places that did long-term roadmaps, which is anywhere from 12 months to 3 years. And you need to figure out what is the right way of thinking about a roadmap for your company, for your vision, and how do you go about executing on that roadmap. So that's the key takeaway. And when it comes to, like, okay, you know, are your roadmaps important? Are they of, like, any value, right? Again, I go back to Shreyas Doshi recently on LinkedIn, he posted this about usefulness and effectiveness of product roadmap, right? Like, product roadmap is useful only when you know where you're headed to, only when it helps galvanize your entire team, your cross-functional players, your stakeholders, and customers in driving towards that journey, right? Like, how do you go about executing on that strategy that you've come up with? Only then, and you know how do you want to get there, that's when your product roadmap is useful. But otherwise, if you don't know where you're headed to, if you don't know what you're executing on, a roadmap is just as useless as, like, you know, a blank piece of paper.
One thing I'm curious on your thoughts are, There's certainly no wrong answer to this. I'm kind of thinking about it myself as well. So I think you spoke about like the different ingredients that need to be in a roadmap versus a strategy or a vision. Like, what factors do you think influence what type of roadmap a company should have? Like, whether it's a 3 month or a 6 month, like what, yeah, in your experience in the different companies you've worked in, like how have they decided what type of roadmap to use in terms of, okay, we need to do a 3 month one, or it needs to be 6 months, or like what are the types of information they would use to decide what type of roadmap to create, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So generally speaking, when you think about like what type of roadmap and like, you know, you need to go with a 3 month roadmap, 6 month roadmap, or a 12 month roadmap, it all boils down to two things, right? What customer problems and pain points are you solving? And what are your business goals? How does this shape into the vision and strategy for you? I think that's the foundational aspect, right? Like, you know, go about solving for customer pain points and business goals, and how does that translate into the type of roadmap? The other thing that I've typically noticed is your runway for a roadmap is generally longer in a B2B business than a B2C business, right? Like in B2B business, you typically have these 12-month roadmaps because you need to make sure you are addressing not just like one individual customer, but you're addressing like, you know, a whole bunch of customers. Your roadmaps often tend to change because of like, you know, ad hoc requests, customers sometimes coming in saying that like, okay, I want this request, or salespeople coming in and saying that like, hey, I have this customer who are planning to walk out of the deal if they don't get this feature. So how does that influence the roadmap? So you need to be mindful about like, you know, the kind of customers, pain points, and your business goals as well. So these are some of the factors that I think play a role in the kind of roadmap. But again, these just not like be all end all, right? Like it sometimes varies. Like I've worked in larger companies focused on consumer products, which also had like a 12-month roadmap. I've worked in like, you know, smaller companies, like enterprise based companies, which also had like 3 to 6 month roadmap. But again, I think the key is to make sure, be it a 3 month roadmap, a 6 month roadmap, or a 12 month roadmap, you are addressing what the customer pain point or problem is and how it relates to your business.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense, and similar to my experience as well. And I think especially as your company matures and you want to service the needs of larger enterprise companies, they kind of expect more predictability, and trying to balance that, how much visibility you give in terms of the future of what you're delivering. I'd love to dig a little bit deeper into deciding what problems to put on a roadmap. So you've got your vision, you got your strategy. A lot of folks talk about different prioritization frameworks and what they should use to try and put onto roadmaps. Like what's your views and your experience in terms of deciding what goes onto roadmaps and what prioritization framework do you use?
Yeah. So when it comes to what goes on to roadmap, right? Like I'd probably want to look at like, you know, are you solving, are you really solving for the customer problems and pain points? Like, how does it address customers' pain points and problems today, right? This can be two ways. You can think about this as two ways. Like, you have the customers are using an existing set of products or existing set of features, and it just doesn't work out well for them. Or there's no alternate availability, or there's no alternate option for customers. You need to build a brand new 0-to-1 product. So think about like, you know, where do you actually fit in there? Like, what brings in more value to the customers? Not only that, you need to think about like, okay, what are my business goals? How do these customer problems and pain points tie to the business? Are they actually helping me achieve my business goals? And your business goals can be varied, right? Like it can be like, I need to bring in like, you know, more number of users to my platform, or I need to like, you know, bring in more revenue for my business. But it all, like a lot of people think about like, oh, revenue, this company is focused a lot on revenue. This company is focused a lot on monetization. That's not a great thing. But I actually recommend going a little bit deeper to understand the customer problem, right? Like revenue or monetization is the end outcome. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe you increase the revenue by, like, for example, in my world, in the enterprise world, yes, I'm going to be focused on increasing the revenue. But the way I'm going to do that is going to increase my enterprise attach rate. And if I want to increase my enterprise attach rate, I need to make sure that the products that I'm putting out there are valuable to the customers, that they are solving the right problems for the customers. If I am not doing that as a foundational element, it doesn't matter if I'm making the revenue or not.
Mm-hmm. And I think, no, you touched on a really good point there in terms of making sure teams are really considerate around the necessary things to solve or problems in terms of trying to achieve those business objectives.
Yeah.
Is there, you spoke a little bit about like different levers and stuff that you use to try and determine what goes on there, but I'd love to dig a little bit deeper. Is there how does your team approach the actual process of like, this can go on, but that can't go on? Like, do you have a framework that you use? Like, is there specific tooling, or how do you kind of make that trade-off and go through kind of those questions?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And like, you know, we see this in a lot of these interviews as well, especially when you go to like, you know, Product Sense interviews and like you come up with a bunch of features. People ask like, okay, now prioritize the features. And then they start using like these RISE frameworks or other things. I'm not saying those are bad. I'm not saying, you know, that those actually don't add value or like, you know, those don't add value, or those are not making sense. But I think the biggest problem with those frameworks are that most of the times with those frameworks, those teams tend to actually gravitate towards features or initiatives that are mostly low risk, right? Like, because it's a general nature, it's a general mindset that we want to make sure that we want to get stuff done. Like, how many times when we have prioritized a list of things to do, we start attacking the things that are easier because we just want to check off things. Like, oh, I have 10 tasks. These four, 7 tasks are easy. 3 tasks are difficult. Let me go after these 7 tasks because I feel like I've accomplished something. I'm doing something really great. And I think that's the problem with frameworks. You tend to gravitate towards things that are low risk, that have like, you know, a bigger chance of winning or succeeding. But the problem is, what we need to check is, okay, are these things actually driving value to the customers? Are these moving the needle for the customers? What will customers achieve or gain from this? So that's the question that you need to ask. And that's how you need to think about like your prioritization, right? It should be a combination of like any of the framework. You can use any framework that you prefer or your company prefers, your company recommends doing it, but it needs to drive value to the customers.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that. One thing I kind of bang my drum a lot about is the going a layer deeper. And mm-hmm. I think it's really easy. I agree. I think it's really easy to be like, well, we've had these 10 things on the list for ages. Let's just do it. There might be some good feedback on there, but really going a level deeper in terms of understanding, like, what is the behavior you're going to change? How are you going to sell this particular thing? How does it fit into your value proposition and compare to competitors? So I completely agree. I think just scratching it a little bit further and going a little bit deeper to really validate, like, should you work on this thing or these 5 things, or is it worth going after other problems?
Exactly. And you can work on like, you know, some of the most critical things for your company, but a customer is actually going to drive value out of it or derive value. That's what makes the difference. So there needs to be a fine balance between both of those. Like,
let's imagine then that we've created these lists of problems or tasks that we feel are really impactful. Mm-hmm. How would you then kind of recommend your teams to start building and then creating that roadmap? Like, what does that process look like for you and your teams?
Yeah. So the way I recommend my teams to approach this is like, you know, just like how I mentioned at the start, your vision, strategy, roadmap, take a bottoms up approach right now, right? Like, okay, you started building on this roadmap. What does the, how does it tie to the overall strategy? How does it tie to the overall business goals and objectives? Like, for example, one of our business goals is like, you know, we need to win more in the enterprise space. Like, how do we go about like, you know, tying a roadmap to winning more in the enterprise space, which means like, what does winning more in the enterprise space mean? We are probably doing well with like small and medium businesses, but we are not doing well with enterprise space. This is a common problem in companies, you know, who have been historically working with like small and medium businesses, suddenly want to go up market. You need to make sure your products are actually meeting the needs of up market. How do you go about like thinking about features that meets the needs of the up market, but at the same time, you don't ignore your small and medium businesses as well. So trying to balance both of those. So take your roadmap, work on tying it to the strategy. Think about like, what features do you have? How does it tie into the strategy? How can you prioritize those based on the customer value that you're providing?
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense. I'm curious. I was asked this question the other day, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. So I think with the kind of going back to the listeners that are listening in, they're creating revenues at the moment, might be Q4, might be looking at next year.
Yeah.
What are the types of signals you would look for in a roadmap as a leader that made it clear, like the rigor and thinking just isn't there? Like what would be some of those telltale signs where you'd be like, look, we got to go back and do some of these fundamentals? Like, are there any certain things you would look out for or you've seen in your experience?
Yeah, things that I would probably look out for, or like, you know, something that didn't fit the bar or raise the bar in terms of like, you know, creating the roadmap, is like, you have a whole bunch of features or you have a whole bunch of initiatives that you're working on. But A, it either doesn't drive value to the customers, or it doesn't meet your business goals. Now, people can ask me, I thought those two were related, right? Like, why are you saying one or the other? And the reason why I say one or the other is that's also a problem. If we are looking at one or the other, that means we didn't do our foundational job of tying our user value to our business goals. We are thinking about those two in a very siloed fashion. And we need to go back and fix that, right? Like, and is that product manager's problem or is that a leader's problem? I think it's both. It starts with the leader, but it's also on the product manager, which is where it goes back to one of the points that I mentioned, like, you know, what are some of the things that you would tell other product managers is like, challenge yourself, right? And this is where you need to challenge your leaders or challenge the team. Like, hey, I don't think this makes sense. I don't think the customer problem that we are going after and the business goals that you have actually align well. We need to change. How do you go about disagreeing? That's one of the key things. I think so that's how I would see as things that don't raise the bar, or like, you know, I think the roadmap is missing the mark. These are some of the things that I have seen in my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's like the narrative is not right there, and
yeah,
that sinking feeling when the team knows they got to go back and do a ton of work to get that rigor up.
Exactly. And sometimes we also end up wanting to deliver too many things at the same time, right? Like, you have this product, like, oh, I'm going to spend the next 12 months actually working on this large initiative, and this is how my roadmap is. But can you actually think about breaking that down into chunks? Is there like a minimum viable product or a minimum allowable product, as Amazon used to call it, right? Like, can you start think small? I know there's this whole idea of like, think big, but can you think big in a smaller setting, right? Like, what incremental value can you deliver to your customers? How can customers find value out of something? Like, maybe you want to automate the entire thing, but is there something manual that you can actually do where customers are able to achieve the goal or achieve the outcome that they want to, and then think about automation.
Mm-hmm. No, I really like that thinking. And if I think about my kind of IC working on a team experiences, it's very easy to get caught up in building this bigger thing and not breaking it down and not doing the basics and de-risking it. So yeah, hopefully this is a good reminder.
Yep.
All right, we're almost at time, but I got two more questions for you. The first one is, are there any kind of resources or advice to our product makers community that you'd like to share with them or things that they could start doing straight away?
Yeah, so one of the things is like focus on your strategy. What is your product strategy? Let me take a step back. Focus on your vision. What's your vision? How can you actually realize your vision? What gets you closer to realizing your vision? then what is your strategy for realizing that vision? Then also, customers always have to be at the forefront of anything that you're thinking about, but also focus on your customer. This is very, very important, right? Like, think about what have your customers actually requested for, what problems they have, how do you go about solving for those problems? And how do you go about solving for the problem is what eventually gets into that roadmap, right? If you're not going to be solving for customer problem, if you don't have a well-defined strategy, then no matter how many roadmaps that you put together is eventually going to go waste. That's one thing. But I also would love to end with one key thing, right? Like, don't think about your roadmap as a starting document.
Mm-hmm.
A roadmap is something that keeps evolving, changing. And as a product manager, how flexible can you be in changing your roadmap? You get curveballs thrown at you always. How do you adapt to those curveballs? How do you incorporate them into your roadmap? How do you make the right decisions and right trade-offs? That's something that I would want to, like, you know, have as a key takeaway or end this conversation with.
Yeah, brilliant. Arjit, really appreciate your thoughts on this topic that I know is top of mind for a lot of folks, and I think it always will be because it's such a massive component of what we create as product makers, working in teams. It was great to be able to unpack this with you and get your experience, especially from a B2B and SaaS perspective as well. Got one final question for you before we wrap up. Is there anything our audience can help you with in terms of reaching out to you or questions or anything you'd like from us?
I'd love to hear from folks on what they thought about this topic. I'd also love to hear on, like, you know, what others do in terms of, like, roadmap, and how do they go about setting their roadmaps? How do they plan for initiatives within their company? As I mentioned, right, like, I'm a lifelong learner. I always want to learn and keep exploring different things. And I'm very excited to hear from folks on what are some of the best practices that they follow.
Awesome. Well, folks, you heard it here first. Join our community and get involved in the conversation. Thank you very much for joining us today. And yeah, thanks for being on the episode.
Yeah, thank you so much, Adam. Really appreciate having me in this session. I really enjoyed it.